Amen.
Hi, church. How are you? Hey, I really missed hearing what you said, George. It's awesome because the Word of God, it's like Him watching over His Word to be performed. So when we're declaring the Word of God, it's activating, and that's what I love about the Word of God. I just wanted to talk about what prayer, how powerful prayer is, because I was thinking about, you know, like George talked about, when you've got a promise from God, basically what you're doing is that faith it's actually a basic ingredient to a relationship with God. Because what faith is like, it's like it's an assurance that things revealed and promised, though we can't see it, it gives us, each one of us as a believer, a conviction that we will expect in faith that it will come to pass. In other words, it becomes so tangible that we are going to possess it and we know it's going to happen. And that's the beauty about prayer. And I was just thinking in Hebrews, and Hebrews is beautiful because it, especially chapter 11, mainly talks about the heroes in the Old Testament and how faith was lived out on an everyday faith-based. And what it did was, the beauty, I love this, it says in the NIV, and it says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses were turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies." In the Passion Bible, it says, "In their weaknesses, their faith imparted power to make them strong. Faith sparked courage within them, and they became mighty warriors in battle, pulling down armies from another realm into the battle array." Beautiful promise. What we're doing is we're coming from the natural into the natural, and we're activating the promises of God, and we see it as a reality. I love Elijah, because Elijah is a man that prays about, you know, not to rain. And in my mind, when I first said, I was thinking, hey, can you randomly do that? No, he didn't. He activated the Word of God. He saw in the Word of God that when you go against and worship other gods, I will curse you and stop the rains. He declared the promise of God. He said, "Lord, make it stop raining." And then he knew in the promises of God that it says that when you come back to me, I will make it rain. And here is Elijah activating and saying the promise of God. So we think, okay, if the promises of God is activated, then we can use it in our own lives. And I think about so many of us have a wonderful story to tell because God has done amazing things. It's actually, when I think about Elijah, is that he passed the mantle to Elijah, his next one coming up. Now, that's a real significant thing because Elijah's following him and he's going, "You can't come with me. Where I'm going, you can't come." Because he knew it was going to be carried to God. And he goes, "But I want to come with you." He goes, "All right." He said, "I want a double portion of what you have, Elijah." And he said, "What you ask is really a hard task." Because what he's saying is, if you see me going, then I'll give it to you. In other words, we can activate. What he saw is when Elijah was taken, Elijah saw him being taken by the horses and to God. What that shows was the mantle of him, his cloth that was passed down. When Elijah was gone, Elijah picked up. He did get the double portion. But what he saw was in the supernatural realm. He activated, he saw in the supernatural. And what does it mean for us? It means to focus what God's doing in our lives, not on what's going on around us, but to look at what God sees in the situation and what's going on. So for me, when I think about my husband telling me he's going to have a heart attack, and I'm thinking, "Bro, you look fine to me. Honestly, you don't look like you're having a heart attack." And he's looking at me going, "No, I think I'm having a heart attack because Dr. Google said so." And of course, you know, you've got these, with first response, people coming in and saying, pinning him up to this machine, blah, 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 and saying, "Sir, are you experiencing any pain?" And he's going, "No, I'm not." And he goes, "Sir, are you sure?" Three times asking. The third time she goes, "Look, sir, I need a second opinion because what you're saying doesn't go in line with what we're seeing on the paper." Of course, while she's going to the ambulance, my husband, right there in front of me, eyes roll back, and goes into cardiac arrest, right in front of my eyes. I'm helping this lady, the first response, because her mate was out there in the ambulance, picking him up off the sofa and down on the ground. And next minute, because he had been already attached to the AED or whatever they call that thing, that machine, it's saying, "Please move away," because right there I saw my husband's eyes alive, you know, well, actually going into convulsions, and then shoom, shut, right in front of my eyes. And even though I could see what was happening, I knew my husband was dead, something in me was a peace that I can't explain, but I know God was in control. So all I could do was just cry, "Father, your mercy and your grace. Father, your mercy and your grace." And as I was crying out, "Father, your mercy and your grace," this, again, the machine's play saying, "Please move away from the body. We're moving away." In goes in with the, you know, whatever you call those defibrillators, going in, boom, and straight back into compression, you know, giving him, trying to get his heart pumping. And of course, and I'm just crying out, "Father, your mercy and grace, your mercy and grace." And of course, the machine's saying, "Please move away from the body." Hands are up, looking, boom. Trying it again, nothing was happening. And of course, I thought, oh, you know, plan B. I'll ask this lady, would she like some help? I thought I'd try and be a little bit practical here. And she goes, "Nah, it's okay. What you're doing?" Because, you know, she looked like pretty tired, going hard out, trying to do compressions. And she said, "No, what you're doing is fine." And it made me realize that what I was really doing was I was praying. I was crying out to a God, a mighty God, that even though in the natural I could see my husband dead, but I knew my God was a big God. And in spite of what I saw, I knew it was going to be faith, trusting in God, that he was going to make this happen. And I knew the machine wasn't working. The lady, what she was doing in compression wasn't working. But I knew God could do this. So in, like my brother said, I went into loud tongues because I don't know why. That's the only first thing I could think of was going into tongues. There's something in there because there's an aggression that rises up. Hands on my husband, on his chest, praying in tongues loud. I don't know what the lady was thinking. I don't know whether she's going, "This racco lady, what's going on?" You know, because I'm going, "Gura shaka tata." And she's going, I didn't even bother looking at her. I was just thinking, you know, whatever God's going to do, use me, Lord. As soon as I said, "Spirit of death out," right then, my husband just went, took a breath in. Right there, he grabbed me, kissed me, grabbed my daughter, and kissed her. Through his eyes, all he remembers is when he woke up, water was coming through. Because, of course, his kid's going, "Dad, did you go into the light?" He's going, "Boy, I saw no light." And all he saw was like water on his eyes, thinking, "What the heck's happened? Why is my daughter Rosalind in here?" Because Rosalind initially was at her house, and I told my daughter Joni, "Go and get Roz. She's a woman of prayer. Get her in here, pray for her father." And I had no idea. Well, I was spirit of death out. She was going, "Life, Father, life." He was wondering, what is she doing here? Because she wasn't here. What is my sister doing here? Why am I on the ground? And why does my chest hurt? So he had no idea that he had died for 2 minutes. No idea. You see, the power of God just moving. The power of God just, you know, this is totally out of our hands. But it's faith in the mighty God to move. And even through the times that City's had, times where he's had almost, they call it like a mini heart attack, there's a word and a promise, and George is so right, that when we hold on to a promise, there's a promise that God said, you know, like Sydney got a promise that God's going to cover and protect him. But for me, I got the promise in 91. about, you know, those who dwell in the Lord, that he'd protect them and he'd be like their buckler and their refuge. For me, my heart, every time I saw my husband going through things, my heart would just go kung, 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 kung. But I really felt that comfort and the peace, that how he quietens a gazelle, you know, when they're freaked out and their heart's just going like this. I don't know if you've ever felt anyone like an animal when they're scared, their hearts are just boom, 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 boom. But I really felt God was just going comforting and almost like he's saying, breathe, daughter, and it's all right, I'm going to be all right, you know. So when you see your loved one going through things, when you get that revelation from God alone, when you get a promise from God, nobody can take it away because it's his promise. It's a promise that God's given. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you. So,